working. He just keeps on and keeps on. He's incredible how he just won't quit. And then he says, it would be nice if you had that same attitude, that you just won't quit. Because it's the most like God you are, is your perseverance. Because I see incredible perseverance in God. He's like, he runs after us. He just runs after us. Wait, I'm right here. Wait, let me talk. Let me tell you something. Let me talk to you about this. He's running after you. And you think, well, I'm just trying to get God. No, God, he's been pursuing you. He's always pursuing you. He's always there. He's never, ever left. Not even once. Not even a little. See, he doesn't have these human flaws that we deal with. He's always love. He's just always love. Now, for us, that didn't come very easy. Love those who hate you. Work on that one a while. Work on that one a while. But, you know, God is, he loved us when we hated him, when we couldn't stand him, when we didn't care. He loved us with the same passion he loves you now, that you do love him. Now, who do you know like that? There's nobody like him that'll love you when you don't care. Well, let's worship the Lord this morning. I'm going to talk about is encourage. Encourage. I'm going to talk to you about how to encourage yourself in the Lord. This is a timely message, and I know it's for more than just us. There's a lot of people that have a lot of issues. There's a lot of people that they're struggling with sadness or depression or high feelings of anxiety about the future and what it holds and that sort of thing. And God doesn't want all these kinds of issues in our life. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me. It's old. Look in 1 Thessalonians. Turn in 1 Thessalonians. You know, a lot of times the people who need the most encouragement sometimes are not here. But you know, when you gather together with the saints, there should always be something that would encourage you. The Word of God is lifting. Everything about God is to lift us, cause us to sit with Him, cause us to see things from His point of view. This is why he comes to dwell with us. He says, let me help you. Let me encourage you. Oh my goodness. He's the strength of our life. He's the strength of our heart, the Bible says. Look in 1 Thessalonians 5. I want to talk to you about that word encourage. I'm going to start in verse 1. Now concerning how and when all this will happen, they've been talking about when Jesus comes. Dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write to you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly. like a thief of the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape. But you aren't in the dark. Oh, that's good, isn't it? But you aren't in the dark about all these things. Dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep as the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Remember that word, clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. Do you notice that being clear-headed is linked to faith and love? See, the Bible links words together. I love when I find these links. It says, for God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. God did not save you to pour anger out on you ever. That is an old religious teaching that many of us grew up with that we have since trashed because it isn't God. God did not come to be mad at us. He came because he loved us. And he came to dwell with us because he loved us. And then he died for us because he loved us. Then he rose again because he loved us. And he's coming back to get us because he loves us. And while we're here, he says, and I'll be with you while you're there until I come get you. Because he loves us. I mean, nobody will ever love you more than God. Nobody knows you as well as God and loves you so, so very much. It's almost like you can't wrap your brain around that level of love and consistency. I want to tell you, God is always very consistent. Now, we may falter in our consistency with different things from time to time, but you know, God doesn't. When he says it, everything about God sets itself toward that happening. Everything that he ever wanted for you, he has always been working and working to arrange things for you to have the very thing that he created for you. That you would be doing the things that he called on you to do. That's where you got the desire. That's why it won't leave. That's why, even though there's other desires, they always have to take a low seat. Because that one just preempts them all. Well, that's God working in you. That is how God does that. Is that he continues to work in you so that you want to do the very thing that you have been enabled to do by him to do. That's what you want to do. So there's no conflict. There's no conflict. See, God doesn't want you to live in a constant struggle and a constant conflict emotionally or mentally or in any other way. He doesn't want you to live in conflict. You know, I was thinking about that word clear-headed, being clear-headed. It is vital to be clear-headed if you're going to encourage yourself. It is vital to be clear-headed if you're going to encourage anybody else. Now, there are very few people that you're going to be around who are going to be great encouragers. Think about it. So if you don't learn to do this for yourself, you see, you get my point. Because there's a lot of people, it's always something wrong. They're down. It's never enough. Nothing's good enough. They can find fault with every single thing that's going on. Even something that's a blessing, they'll find fault with it. Yeah. But part of this being clear-headed, Merriam-Webster says, it's having or showing a clear understanding. Oh, there it is. See, without understanding, you can't be clear-headed. There are certain things you have to understand about God and redemption, or you're not going to be clear-headed. When you're not clear-headed, you have a hard time encouraging yourself. When you're not clear-headed, you have a hard time encouraging somebody else. You don't even want to. See, when you're not encouraged, you don't want to encourage other people. Encouragement comes from people who know how to encourage themselves. Because you can't give out what you don't have. I mean, you may do it a day or two, but you won't be able to do it long haul. You won't be able to do it. It'll have to be real. I want what's real. And he says it's having or showing a clear understanding. It's your perception. And it's also your perspective. See, do you perceive? Is there something that you perceive about a situation? And now it's clear-headed to you. Now it's clear. You have understanding of it. Dictionary.com says it's having or showing an alert mind. You're just on alert. Be sober. Be vigilant. Remember those verse, those scriptures, those words? Be sober. Well, that's be alert. That's what that's saying. Be alert. Watch out. Be aware. Be aware at all times. Be aware. And Collins Dictionary says it means you're lucid and you're unconfused. If you're clear-headed, you are not confused. You don't walk around in confusion all the time. It's amazing how many people stay in a state of chronic confusion and refuse to come out of it. Do you know the Word of God is your answer for that? If we would just believe and just say, I don't care how I feel, God's Word says this, so for me, that's what it is. And then you line your life up with that, not how you feel, not what the news is saying to you, not what somebody else is saying to you, not some devotional that from 50 years ago that doesn't know anything about redemption or something. I'm just saying, we've got to be where the Word of God means more to us than just how you feel that day. Do you think Jesus always felt great every day? We know he got tired. I mean, when you're with people constantly, you get tired. And emotionally, it can be a real pull. Just constant, one after another, just constantly, all throughout the day, just pulling on him, pulling on him, pulling on him. Never a minute, not able to eat. You know, sometimes he would go for days too. They would go for days, and the disciples too. There's no food, there's no time, there's no rest. You understand? But you know, he didn't live out of how he felt. He didn't say, well, Father, I can't do that. You know, I only got 3 hours of sleep last night. So, Father, can you go get somebody else today? No. He said, I live to do the will of my Father who sent me. I live to do his will. It's what I want to do. Are we like that? Are we like that? In that regard, are we like that? Are we like Jesus? When God calls on us, we just say, yes, sir. We don't give God a list of reasons about why we won't go or do or say or call or whatever. And there will be people in your life who will tell you not to do that. They'll say, you haven't got time to do one more thing. Why are you trying to do that? No. You're meeting yourself coming and going. No. And I thought, I don't know. I'm just doing what God's telling me to do. And I know other people, they're just doing what God's telling them to do. Whatever it is. Might not be what I'm doing, but it's what God's telling you to do. Well, you need to do it. There's something important about what God tells you to do. We act like it's optional sometimes. But what we're missing is that when God is telling you to do something, it's because it's very, very important. Or he wouldn't assign you to do something. Sometimes he will assign you to certain people, say, pray for that person. I don't care if it takes the next 12 years. You pray for them until they have a breakthrough. You pray for them. You witness to them. You talk to them. Just stay at it. They'll have to leave you because you won't leave them. Be like Jesus. He doesn't ever leave us. People walk away from him. He never walks away. He never walks away from people. The rich young ruler, remember, walked away from Jesus. He didn't like the terms of service. He didn't like it, so he walked away. But Jesus was right there. Jesus didn't walk away from him. He's always there. Faithful, faithful, faithful. Perceptive means showing sensitive insight, discerning, able to notice and understand things that many other people do not notice. That's a perceptive person. They perceive certain things that a lot of people would overlook. I love this. Psalm 119, 32 says this, I will pursue your commands, for you expand my understanding. See, that's that you expand my ability to be clear-headed. You expand my understanding. You give me, God, wisdom. You give me understanding. You help me see clearly what I couldn't see clearly before. It was muddy. But, oh, God, now I can see. He opens our eyes so that we can see. Psalm 33 says, for the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. We can trust everything he does. Wow, are we there? Where we trust everything he does? We need to know that he's working in our life. And he may give you a job. He may give you an assignment. And you, for the life of you, can't understand, why did God pick me to do this? I'm the most unlikely person. There's so many people could do this assignment, whatever it is. But do you have those? Do you ever had those conversations with God? So mercy, Lord. What is that? You know, why you choose me to do that? An assignment. But it says that the word of the Lord holds true, and we can trust everything he does. So if God gives you an assignment, that's important. It's very, very, very important. Never take that lightly. It's very important. It is connected to everything you actually really want down inside. Your assignment is connected to your joy. Your assignment is connected to happiness. Your assignment is connected to rewards in heaven. I don't think people understand that. See, we're not going to be judged for sin, but there are going to be rewards for people who have simply obeyed God. It didn't have anything to do with how many people you talked to. Just, did you obey? What did you obey? Well, if you obeyed, you will have talked to some people about the Lord. You will. You'll talk to them out on your job. When you're full of Jesus, how do you not talk about Jesus? How do you not talk about the one that you're just full of Jesus? How do you not? Why would you not? I know this is funny, but when everybody was at the house yesterday, all the kids, whatever, we were celebrating Mother's Day, Father's Day, because that's when we could get the troops together, had a house full. And it was funny. I went to pray over the food, and I don't know, I just was so excited about Jesus, and my hands just went up in the air. My hands just went up in the air, and I was just praising God. And I just said, and we bless this food. I bless the food. Jesus blessed the food. The food's blessed. He said, I will bless your food and water. That's our covenant, that our food's blessed. And so I said, thank you, God, this food is blessed. I declare it's blessed, and I thank you for it because you're good and you're always good. And I just don't even know what I said, but I went on from there about the goodness of God. I couldn't help it. I was all excited. Cheerful. I just want to make a little mental note here for some people. God loves when we're cheerful. He likes when we're cheerful. Why? Because we're more like him. God's not sad. God's not depressed. He's not angry. He's not ticked off. He's not criticizing everything. He's not criticizing when it rains or when the sun's out. You know, the things he made. He's not being critical. And he wants us to be cheerful. When we approach God, you approach God just with problems and sadness. Yeah, think of God as someone who's real. If it was someone who was real, every time he came in their presence, would you come in their presence crying or belly aching about something? Every single time? Wow, God's incredibly patient, I think. I think he's very patient with us. I mean, just even that one comment, if you just think about all the times you've come to God crying or upset, or how unfair something is, or whatever. Even in your thoughts, You don't even have to open your mouth. He said he knows your thoughts from afar. So he knows attitudes. He knows every attitude you've ever had and words you've spoken to every person you've ever spoken to. Because by your words you will be judged, and by your words you will be acquitted, the Bible says. Yeah. God is good. Look at this. Look in, go ahead to Psalm 33. Are y'all in Psalm 33? I'm going to look at verse 17. I love this. Don't count on your war horse to give you victory. For all its strength, it cannot save you. But the Lord watches over those who fear him, those who rely on his unfailing love. Are we relying on his unfailing love? He rescues them from death and keeps them alive in times of famine. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Oh, that we would trust the Lord. That we would trust him. We trust who he is. We trust his character. We trust his morality. His very character. God is moral. He's upright. He's just. He's fair. God is always just and fair. He is. When you think God has been unjust or unfair, there's something you really don't understand. Because he is the righteous judge. He's righteous in all his dealings and doings. Look in Psalm 34. Look in verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. See, when you need encouragement, you need to get into some of these psalms. Really. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He never leaves you when you're brokenhearted. He doesn't leave you even when you blamed him for why you're brokenhearted. He won't leave you. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Precious. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. It says each time the Lord will come to the rescue. Are we depending on the Lord? Are we depending on him? Are we depending on what he's deposited in us? Are we depending on the power he's already placed in us? See, now it's kind of like God will rescue you, but what he does is he rescues you mainly through his word by the way you're thinking. That's God's major rescue plan, is to change how we think. Boy, if he can really change how we think, then we're rescued. See, I don't need rescued from some devil. I've got power over that. We've been given authority over that. But it's the thoughts. It's the thoughts. See, wrong thinking. You get news. What do you do with news when it comes to you? Does it linger? Don't let it linger too long. Don't look at too much of it. I'm just saying, don't look at it. Because they make money off being negative. I mean, just people gravitate toward what is negative. That's what sells. It's what's negative. And then Jesus says, well, I've got good news. And people go, oh, no. I've got great news for you. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. He's right here, right now. He's here. He is in our presence. He's with you wherever you are. You always have a God connection. He dwells in us. He's come to abide in his people. Wow. Psalm 34. Oh, that's one we just did. Look at this. Psalm 116. 116:5. How kind the Lord is. How good he is. So merciful, this God of ours. See, when you feel discouraged about something and you need to encourage yourself, think about that verse. How kind the Lord is. How good he is. So merciful, this God of ours. Sometimes we forget how merciful, how good God is. I don't think we've even begun to tap into our understanding of the goodness of God. How good God is. He delights to help you. It's his joy for you to be healed. It's his joy for you to be well. It's his joy for you to smile. It's his joy for you to enjoy even the things that he's brought to you, even materially. He doesn't mind you having a good time. It's his joy. He's kind. He's good. He loves to give gifts to his children. He loves when we're excited about those things. He rejoices. Look at 16, verse 16. Oh Lord, I am your servant. Yes, I am your servant. Born into your household, you have freed me from my chains. I'm telling you, when you're born again in Jesus, the chains, that's when they ended right then. That's when they ended. You're not no longer chained. You're not. If Jesus breaks the chain, that's broken. But in your head, you can decide you're still chained up. You can decide that. But you're not. It's not true. You can believe the lie. There's so many people, they think they need deliverance. No, they need to be just doing what the Word said do. They don't need deliverance. They need to be doing what the Word said do. I grew up in churches where like everything was, you just need to be delivered, need to be delivered. Well, nobody can deliver you from what you just keep thinking. So if you just keep thinking the wrong thing, it doesn't matter who lays hands on you. Because there's a thought process going on, and that we need to know God is very good. I'm just saying we need to know God's very, very good. He's only love. He's kindness. He is our provision. He is your provision. You think, well, I just need this. No, it's in everything's in Him. Everything's in everything good that ever came to you. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. It comes from Him. Everything that's good, everything that's perfect, everything you need, it comes from Him. Do you have Him? Yes, then you have access. We have access. We go to that throne of grace. It's a grace throne. It's a grace throne. It's not a works throne. It's not a works throne. It's a grace throne. You can come to that throne of grace. You can find help in time of need. You have a need. And I'm talking to you today that you can be clear-headed. You can be more clear-headed about the Scriptures. You need not be confused. You don't have to walk around in confusion. You don't have to. I mean, you can choose to if you don't want to get in the Word. But, wow, I encourage you to get in the Word. Because there's freedom. There's freedom in truth. The truth you know makes you free. There's great freedom just in truth. Look at 117. Psalm 117, verse 1. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Praise Him, all you people of the earth. Verse 2. For His unfailing love for us is powerful. The Lord's faithfulness endures forever. Praise the Lord. I love that. For His unfailing love for us is powerful. Unfailing love, powerful. God, do you know love is so powerful? And it says His unfailing love toward us is powerful. I love that. Now look in 1 Samuel. Bless your name, Jesus. I bless your name. Samuel, chapter 30, starting in verse 1. Well, let me flip back just a little bit. This is when David was living with the Philistines. He had fled from Saul, and he had all his little army that God had gathered around him, and they had been living in the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines were going to go to war. David was going to join up, and they said, no, lest he turn on us in the middle of battle. They didn't want him, so they sent him back. Okay, so this is where we pick up in chapter 30, verse 1. 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town in Ziklag, they found that the Amalekites had made a raid into the Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. They were absolutely devastated. All these men were devastated. David's two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter. See that word? Very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk of stoning him. To them, it was a done deal. Well, we've lost everything. Oh, well. So, David, we're ticked off, brother. We'll just kill you. That was their only plan of action, was we're going to kill him. I love this. But David found strength in the Lord, his God. When everybody around you is bitter, they're bitter about something. When everybody around you has already given up on something, encourage yourself in the Lord. The old King James says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And the NLT says he found strength in the Lord his God. But he did that because he encouraged himself in God. You know, how do you suppose he did that? Had God made any promises to David? Well, sure he had. He'd made all kind of promises to David. Well, one of the things that you can do is when there's something happening around you and there's a temptation to just succumb to the sadness or the evil or the bitterness that's around you and join in that conversation, it's better for you to encourage yourself in the Lord than to join some conversations. You need to excuse yourself, run to the restroom, something, and encourage yourself in the Lord. So help me. It's like, but whatever that atmosphere is, I'm telling you, it's toxic. It is a toxic atmosphere, and you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. You can even begin to encourage other people, but only if you know how to encourage yourself first. Are you the person who always has to be encouraged, or are you the person who encourages? See, I want to be the person who always encourages. That I'm way heavy on that end of it. I'm heavy, heavy, heavy on encouraging others. You understand what I'm saying? So that I'm not the toxic atmosphere somebody else has to deal with. You know, we can be an atmosphere for somebody else. You know, you live with people and the atmosphere can just be so toxic. Sometimes you don't even want to walk in the house or something. I don't want to be that person. I'm not that person. I'm not going to be that person because I don't have to. And when they decide to be toxic, everything I say is going to be so cheerful, they just won't want to be around me. If they want to continue to be toxic, they'll have to go someplace else. Because I'm just going to say, well, the Bible says this, or the Word says this, or whatever. And they go, well, I don't want to hear that. Well, okay. But the Lord loves you. He's not mad. You can cheer up. You can decide. Y'all understand what I'm saying? But you've got to be able to encourage yourself. The Word of God is there. There's a reason why we have the Word of God. He knew we would need it. He knew we would need it. It's been supernaturally preserved. It was supernatural that we even have it at all. It was supernatural. But David found strength in the Lord his God. He knew what to do. How did he know what to do? Because he had spent years having to do it already. If you've spent years, years and years, having to encourage yourself because there really isn't anybody really on your team, like Go Team Go, pepping you up, giving you a pep talk, sending you cards every week, making sure you're okay. If you haven't had that for a long, long time, the only way you survive is if you learn to do it for yourself. You will have to learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. But God is so kind. God is so kind, though, because when people are struggling, and people do, and some people are very young in the Lord, he also doesn't want us to overwhelm young ones. The Bible calls them weak ones. Listen to this. In verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians 5. This is so... Verse 11, so encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Verse 11, so encourage each other. Encourage each other. This church was going through a difficult time. Paul wrote this to this one of his letters, and he had written, this church was going through a hard time. Most of the churches were, but they were suffering horrible persecution. Thessalonica. Horrible persecution. And Paul did not want them to lose heart, even though they're going through a very, very hard time. And he was saying, Christ, in verse 10, Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. He was trying to say, but this isn't forever here. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. And he was so sweet to say, you need to keep that up. If you're going to make it, you're going to have to keep it up. Because there's some young ones that are not going to make it unless you encourage them. They're not. They're going to make it. It's going to be bad. Because they were going through a really, really hard time. And then he goes down. Look at this. In verse 14, he says, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. That wasn't talking about physical weakness. It was people who were very young in their faith. They just don't know much. And that's a dangerous place for people. And I see so many people, they get saved and they're never discipled. And they don't want to do it. They don't want to come be discipled. And it beats anything I've ever seen. You stay weak when you don't want to be discipled. You know, the disciples wouldn't have been able to move in the miracles they moved in just by seeing Jesus do it. Remember, Jesus had sent them out. That was part of the on-the-job training. He had sent them out two by two to do miracles, to do this. He wanted them to see themselves doing that. And he spent a lot of time with them. And when he said, come follow me, that's what he meant. That's what he meant. And I'll make you fishers of people. Because when you put the gospel out there, there are people, they'll bite that hook, they will. Because they want that truth. They want that reality in their life. They want reality. People want reality. They don't want just religious stuff. I don't. I don't have any use for it. I've had to know God over the years. I've had to encourage myself in the Lord. I'm serious. I wasn't anybody. I mean, just for most of those years, it was me and God. That was the best thing that ever happened to me. That was part of God training me. I praise him for it. I really do. I praise him for it. It wasn't like we had phone calls or anybody calling and said, we just had you on our heart. We just don't want to go and pray. We just want to pray for y'all. No once, 22 years. The faithfulness of God. Oh, I'm telling you, he's faithful. I'm telling you, he's faithful. Oh, he's faithful. Do you know God to be good? Do you know him as good? He's faithful. I'm telling you, he's faithful. He's been faithful. He's been faithful to Dee and me. Oh, he's been so faithful. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, he's been faithful to us. And I love the Lord, I guess, as much or more than I ever had in my whole life. Because I have found him to be faithful and consistent in answering prayer. Don't be so quick to give up on God. God is working. Sometimes it takes him a long time to do a big deal. The bigger the deal, the more stuff's got to come together for it. So don't fret about that. Just stay on course and learn to encourage yourself in the Lord. If you're depressed, nobody can get you out but you. When you get tired of being depressed, you'll decide to think something else. The Word teaches us this. Why art thou disquieted, O my soul? Put your hope in God. Yes. Because the Lord has been good to you. You know the Lord's been good to you. The Lord's been good to you. But I'm just saying that the Bible is filled with verses that if you're tired and depressed, get into this book. Just get to them and say, God, I need you to talk to me. I can't tell how many times I've said that in my life. God, I need you to talk to me about this one. This one hurt. This is hard. And you'll have to talk to me. And the first thing you'd say, well, sit down and open the book. Let's go. Let's go. He's good about it. He's good about it. But he says, brothers and sisters, we encourage you to warn those who are lazy. And it wasn't talking about it's talking about when it says about lazy, not people who won't work. It's people who refuse to apply the principles of God. They just, for whatever reason, they would show up. They're there. They're in the group somewhere, obviously, because he's saying it. And he says, and this is the other thing. They had pastors for these churches, but he's saying, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. We urge you to warn people who are not applying the principles of God to their life because it won't work for them. You understand what I'm saying? Their stuff's not going to work. But you can teach them. You can train them. It wasn't supposed to just be pastors and prophets, all that. Our whole, it's almost like people ditched all their self-responsibility. Well, I'll just get so-and-so to pray for me. But if you've not been sitting on the teaching of faith, there won't be, there's got to be something there. Say, well, you believe. Dr. LaDonna always says, well, the people, when she's preaching, just believe, just believe, just believe, just believe. There's no special formula. There's no special pattern. There's no special scripture you quote. It's just, when I first got saved, did you know a bunch of scriptures? All on salvation. Boy, you'd memorized all the scriptures on salvation when you got saved, right? Right? No, you didn't. You didn't know them. Well, how in the world did you get saved? You believed. You just decided to believe. Everything else comes the same way. I've said that same thing for years. Everything comes to you the same way. You believe. And every day I don't get up and check and see if I'm saved. I decide I'm saved. It's a decision. I decide I'm saved. And when I start thinking that way, my behavior comes in line with what I'm thinking to be true. And everything else will too. Some things take longer than I can't explain that. I don't try to. I don't know. I just know in the long haul, you're good. You're good if you just don't ditch your confidence in the Lord. My confidence is that I know God to be good, and I know that His promises never fail, and I know that He always, always, always keeps His word. So if He always, always keeps His word, why would I be so special He would break it just with me? What made me so special that God all of a sudden would decide not to be good? How grandiose can we be? No, He's the same. And He's the same with anyone who come to Him. But it goes on to say, encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. And see to it no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. So these were some instructions to the church. Be good to each other. It matters how you treat people. It matters how you treat yourself, and it matters how you treat people, and it matters how you treat God. Because I have discovered over the years that the way people are with God is the way they are with everybody, whether they mean to be or think they are or not. And I challenge people's thinking about this. You know, if you're afraid all the time, you don't think God can protect you, you'll always be trying to protect yourself. You'll always be trying to, you know, put, you know, make sure nobody thinks this about you. Nobody, you know, all that kind of. People are going to think whatever they want to. You don't have to have done one thing, but they can decide you did. If they just decide you did, that's all it takes. So, you know, you can't live your life out of that. You just be good to everybody. Don't worry about it. And whatever happens here, happens here. But you want your rewards for when you get there, right? Y'all stand up, please. Encourage yourself. That word encourage, the whole, it's E-N, but the rest of the word is courage. That means you have to be brave. See, there's a certain amount of bravery to encourage. One, you have to take a stand. To encourage yourself means you'll have to take a stand. And that stand is in God. I'm going to encourage myself because I know what God told me. And then He told me and told me and told me. Over and over and over. God's very repetitive. You got a long haul. God, every once in a while, He'll just remind you. He'll make sure you get a word. Somebody will say it to you again, whatever. He's keeping you right there. He's protecting you. He's holding you. His word, we are upheld by the power of His word. That's how God created everything, was the word of His power. He still does it with us. We are His creation, and we are upheld by the word of His power as His creation. See? Lord, I thank You today that You encourage us. You're the most encouraging being there ever was. And You encourage us all the time. If we'll just take notice, be more sensitive, be clear-headed. Help us to be clear-headed that we're not a confused people. We are diligent in application of your word. We're diligent to apply your word to ourselves first. And then with the help that we receive from you and what we learn from you, we're glad to share that knowledge with someone else who may also have a struggle and go through something. We all go through things. You said in this world, you will have tribulation. I have found that to be true. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So he never say or promise that everything was going to be smooth all the time. No, he actually said, no, it's not going to be smooth. You're going to have trials. You're going to have things you're going to go through, and it's going to really put your faith to the test. It's really going to put your body to the test. It's going to put all your emotions, your mental well-being, everything. Sometimes the pressure can come so hard against you. He says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world for you. I did it for you. I did it for you. That's a lot of love. God, we thank you today for that incredible love. And God, I thank you that we are encouraged today. And I thank you, God, you're teaching us more how to encourage ourselves. And you're teaching us how we can also encourage other people, because there's people all over the place. Anywhere you want to go today, there's people who will need encouragement. And just a kind word, a smile, just engaging with other people in a friendly manner even, will encourage someone who may be down and going through something. But wow, you were kind to them. You went out of your way to do something nice for them. That's an encouragement. And God, above everything else, people need you. They need you. God, give us more and more opportunities and help us to see them when they're right under our nose, that we don't just walk away, but that we absolutely put you out there, that you are on display in our lives. This is what we want, that Jesus is on display, because we walked in a room, because we're someplace, Jesus is now on display. Oh God, let it be so. Let it be so. We love you, Lord. We're a grateful people. We bless you, Jesus, because you have so blessed us. And we honor you, God. You honor us by just coming and living in us. What an honor. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. Will you be encouraged today out there in Facebook world? Learn to encourage yourself and be an encouragement to other people. They need you. They need you. And you need Jesus. If you don't know this Jesus, I invite you. Make him the Lord of your life. Just believe. He really did come. He really did die for your sin. He took your sin in his own body on the tree. He did that so you wouldn't have to. He took your place. And he gave you his name and power and ability and the word of God so that you can grow up and be more and more like him. Trust him with your heart today. You won't regret that. Amen. Glory to God. Did you have some? Come here.
Look towards the rising sun and not to the setting sun. For what can you do about what has been done? Cast aside what might have been. Look towards what will be. Why do you swim in a pool full of regret? Let hope fill your heart and mind. I have laid before you a path full of abundance. Stay on the path. Stay in step with me. I will lead you from victory to victory. Look towards the rising sun and not the setting sun. For what can you do about what has been done? Cast aside what might have been. Look towards what will be. Why do you swim in a pool full of regret? Let hope fill your heart and mind. I've laid before you a path full of abundance. Stay on the path. Stay in step with me, and I will lead you from victory to victory.
That was good. Bonnie got something
Well, I got part of this morning in prayer time. The rest I got in amazing prayer time. I encourage everybody to come to that. It was powerful this morning. I saw a white flag waving. And typically a white flag means you surrender or give in. A white flag or cloth is used as a symbol to surrender, truce, or desire to parley. In a relationship, when you have completely let your guard down and surrendered or give in to it, because becoming healthy in a strong relationship, that's what the white flag is for a Christian. God is wanting us to surrender all. The flag, the Christian flag, is white with red Latin cross inside a blue canton. The shade of red on the cross symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. The blue represents the waters of baptism as well as the faithfulness of Jesus. White represents Jesus' purity. White is, when I looked that up, is peace, purity, and innocence. The flag represents freedom, dignity, and true meaning of us being who we are. That's the Christian flag. And I got the scripture, Psalms 51:10, create in me a pure heart, O Lord. Renew a loyal spirit within me.
Amen. God's had a lot to say this morning. Hope y'all took this. I'm so glad to see all y'all here. Chris is waving the flag back there as you can see it. I see you, Chris. Teamwork. But I just want to tell y'all, I love y'all very much. And I'm available to you. I don't know if y'all realize that or not, but I'm very available to you. I make myself available to people. To talk, whatever concerns you may have. Don't walk around with stuff for years and years and years wishing that you didn't have it. We'll pray for you. We love you. We love you. Y'all love one another. Love one another with real love. Reach out to each other. Some of you are so good about it. And some of us need to learn from you how to do that better. Jesus reaches out to people. The more you're like Jesus, the more you're going to reach out to people. Amen. I love y'all. Y'all have a great day. Saturday, they're having the funeral memorial thing for my cousin Diana next Saturday. And it's out of town. So way over in Texas someplace. I don't know. I have to get to Google it. But yeah, I'm going to go to that. My cousin. Love y'all.